Who's Chris? You're no, you're not. Martin. No. Money. Someone's doing it. No, come on. Who's in? Who's in charge of raising the money? Who's in charge of the totaliser?
We didn't.
No, someone's
just
charity.
Don't know.
We haven't.
Yeah. 15 green pins. You can't argue with that. So 64 reds. That is an achievement.
That is a hell of an achievement. A lot of pins.
Britain's wearing trousers.
Yeah. Now sock it to me, B.
Love is waiting there in my beautiful balloon. Way up in the air in my beautiful balloon. If you hold my hand, we'll chase your dreams across the sky. Lord, we can fly. We can fly.
Armstrong and Miller starred Sam West, Tony Gardner, Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. It was written by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller, with additional material by Tony Gardner. The producer was Gareth Edwards.
Love that song. Oh, yes. And Armstrong and Miller are back in the Comedy Club next week, inviting us to once again ride in their beautiful balloon.
The digital station on radio, TV and online. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Next, it's time for the Omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra.
Think you can shut the door on me?
Look, could you come back later, please?
Like when you're out, you mean? I've heard it all before.
It's just I have to be somewhere.
Come on, then. The sooner I get my money, the sooner I'm out of your hair.
But I haven't got it.
It's a payday loan. Today you get paid.
I mean, I haven't got it on me.
Then get it.
I'll be late.
So stop wasting time.
But if I miss my lift...
It won't take 2 minutes for me to drive you to the cash machine. Get in the car.
I don't want
I
to.
I said
ow!
Get in.
In future, Dad, let Donna do her own gardening. It's too much for you.
I just wanted to be, you know, useful.
I know, but you're not useful to me or anyone if you're collapsing with exhaustion, are you?
No.
Sorry, Dad. Got a lot on.
How's that school thing going?
The deputy head's established that I was asleep, leaving the kids unsupervised. Oh. Now I've got a hearing coming up.
Oh, Tracy, I'm sorry.
Well, you're looking better today, anyway.
Oh, I feel better.
Good. Right, let's see. 2 big bags of spud should do us, what do you think?
What's that, Tracy, love?
For Christmas dinner. 2 bags spuds. Oh, what about that turkey you said Eddie Grundy had?
They've all gone now, Joe said.
Oh, right, I'll get a frozen one.
Frozen?
Don't worry, I'll defrost it properly.
Tracy.
Stock cubes, what?
You shouldn't be going to all this trouble.
What trouble?
Well, it seems daft, that's all.
What does?
There's our Susan up at Ambridge View, and here's you down here, both cooking Christmas dinner. And...
Oh, Dad, we've talked about this.
But why go to all that bother? Why don't we all have a lovely dinner with them? It's such a vexation for you.
It isn't.
Whereas Susan loves cooking.
I love cooking?
Yeah, but she's been... had more practice.
I've had plenty of practice.
She does all the trimmings, all the little extras.
Blimey, if you want trimmings, I'll do trimmings.
Well, why don't just me and your brother go up to Susan's?
After what our Emma did?
Well,
I'm amazed at you, Dad, I really am. Anyway, you know our Gary doesn't feel comfortable at Ambridge View. He'd much rather be at home here with us.
All right.
Plus, Susan always goes well over the top. What fuss over chucking a turkey in the oven for a few hours and boiling up loads of sprouts?
Oh, dear.
She always did think she was a cut above. 2 bags sprouts.
Here. I wonder if we can see Keith on Christmas Day.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Oh, cheer up. Donna's seen him this afternoon. She'll tell us how he is.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
Sorry, I'll start again.
Get on with it.
Could you just not stand quite so close, please?
I'm a finance consultant, not a card thief.
Sorry.
Stop apologising. It's getting on my nerves.
Right. Oh, I don't think I'll give you the full amount today.
Yeah, don't try it on.
But if I give you the 500 you lent me for my mortgage, I won't have much left to see me through Christmas.
Yeah, what I lent you plus interest, that's 540.
40? Pounds?
Well, it's not pesetas.
But I can't.
Oh, dear.
What shall I do?
All right. I'll put you on a minimum payment scheme.
Thank you.
Of course, the interest rate jumps right up.
Wait a minute. I'll give you as much as I can today.
No. We've agreed terms now. Let's start with 200 to seal the deal, shall we?
But it'll take ages to pay it off. Years.
That's the finance market for you. Come on. Cheers.
Are you taking me back home now?
I like your style. I'll be back next Tuesday, Donna. Merry Christmas!
Tracy?
What?
I've been thinking.
Oh, not again. We're having Christmas dinner here, and that's final.
Oh, no. About presents.
What about them? Now here.
I don't need one.
Of course you're having a present.
I'm an old man. I've got everything I need.
Christmas isn't about what you need. It's about treats.
Yeah, but still, I...
Oh, we're all having something to open on Christmas morning, so let's hear no more about it.
If you say so.
I do. And if you or Gary could pick the kids up for me one afternoon before they break up, I could do with doing a bit more Christmas shopping.
Yeah, right.
Chelsea wants this remote-controlled dog. And I want to get little Kira a dolly and George something.
Ooh, you're still buying for Emma's kiddies, then?
Of course I am. Well, their fault if their mother's a cold, callous backstabber, is it?
Hmm.
Oh, and I've ordered this new kid's tablet.
A tablet?
It's a sort of computer.
Hmm.
I've ordered it from Underwoods for Brad.
Sounds expensive.
It is. But it'll be worth it to see his little face light up when he unwraps it.
Just tell Tracy about that loan shark.
Tracy? What can she do?
Well, maybe she can lend you a few quid to get him off your back.
Okay, I'll ask her.
Good.
What's he keep staring at?
Who?
Don't look.
Who?
The bloke with the two fingers tattooed on the back of his head.
Oh.
Don't look, I said. Keeps talking to his missus and then they both keep looking over here.
It's nothing. Ignore him.
I don't like the look of her. Very common. I can't think straight with them staring.
I know him from that gang.
No.
There's two of them in here, both on my wing.
Well, you keep out of their way.
Forget them. So, what have you been up to?
Oh, the usual, you know, work.
How's that going?
Yeah, fine.
They're not taking it out on you or anything?
No, everybody's fine.
They're not like it.
Well, it's the money situation.
I said, tell Tracy.
I'm talking about all the other bills you've got behind with.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm getting final demands left, right and centre. And you haven't left any money in the joint account at all. Even that's in the red.
Give me them bills. I'll see what I can do.
Hey, stop. Not passing anything over the table.
It's just a few bills, officer.
I'm sorry, but you should have handed them in when you arrived.
Oh, can I just write the numbers down for him?
Sorry.
It's just a few phone numbers.
Those are the rules. Hand it in next time. Or Robin, come with me.
What?
You'll have to be searched.
Oh. Shall we get a trip bill?
Here.
Right, 0800 0555.
Keith!
Come on, lad, let's have you.
Oh, sorry, love.
Oh, just let me get my coat off, Dad, and I'll make us a brew.
Ah, ta, Tracy, love.
I'd better get on with making that angel costume straight after tea. And talking about making things, what's all that willow in the back garden for?
A trellis.
What for?
I'm planting a climbing rose.
Are you?
Well, once the worst of the winter's over.
What's brought that
on?
That old song, Nat King Cole. Ramblin' Rose.
It's you that's ramblin'.
That was our song.
Was it?
Mine and your mother's.
Oh.
We met on a youth club ramble.
I never knew that. I thought you met dancing.
Well, that was after. She said I had two left feet. So she did the leading.
Oh, typical mum.
That's how it was ever after. Me and her.
And you're doing all this in memory of mum?
Ah.
You can sit in the back garden and watch it grow.
Ah.
And I'll sit with you. Sometimes.
You're a good girl, Tracy. And a good daughter and a good mum and sister, too.
And my dad.
After everything you've gone through over the last 12 months or so.
Thanks, Dad. I just want to give everyone the best Christmas I can and do my best for the family. That's what counts, isn't it?
Oh, for...
Oi, Orabin.
Waste of flaming time.
Don't take it out on the phone.
One thing I said I'd do for a boss.
What's the problem?
I'm trying to ring the electricity company.
Is it on your cleared list?
Well, why would it be?
That's why you can't get through then.
Oh, well, can I add it to the list then?
You can if you want, but it'll take time.
Yeah, but I need to get it sorted now.
You'll be lucky if it's this sort of Christmas.
Oh, you're joking.
Sorry, lad. Maybe if you're done, jog on.
He's got his phone card and his paper and stamps have come through.
And how is he in himself, Donna, love?
He said he's feeling a bit more human. Now he's got some soap.
Oh, good.
Last time I spoke to him, he was trying to trade his cereal for some.
Oh, I don't know.
I know, Dad. What's it come to, eh?
Hopefully he's helping me ring round and sort out all the bills.
You've got him using up his phone card on that?
It's his fault we're in this mess. It's not just bills, though. I've got this... other money problem. Keith said you might be able to help Tracy.
Me?
It's difficult.
Do you know how much I'm on? I'm a lunchtime supervisor, a casual. I'm not the flipping head.
I know, but Keith said...
And you shouldn't be bothering Keith with your problems. He's got enough to think about.
Which is why I'm asking you.
You're sat there with a designer handbag and half a pound of gold wrapped round your neck and you're asking me for money.
You're Tracy, love.
No, Dad, it's not fair. You've only got your pension. Our Gary's on benefits. Why doesn't she go and pawn some of that expensive jewellery?
I can't do that.
Won't, you mean?
It's mostly costume jewellery anyway. Oh. And the real necklace and earrings, I can't part with them. They mean a lot to me.
Well, I wish I had the option. I'd be down there like a shot instead of coming here whinging.
Tracy.
I'm scared.
We're all scared. It's a tough world.
Please, just listen a minute.
No, you listen to me. You've had it easy all these years. Keith treated you like a princess, while for the rest of us, it's a never-ending uphill struggle. As soon as anyone round here hears the name Orobin, their mind's made up.
Right. Well, that's how you feel.
We'd like to help, Donna, love.
Thanks, Bert, but it's fine. I'll manage. Bye.
Bye, love. Now, why did you go and do that?
She just gets my goat.
But she's family. We've got to stick together.
I know, Dad. I've always tried to get on with her, if only for Keith's sake.
Well, you just got to try harder.
Hey, lovely to see you, Donna. What are you drinking?
Small Pinot Grigio.
I'll have a pint and give the lady a double brandy. You look like you need it. What's up? Look, why don't you see if you can find a table, eh? Then you can tell me all about it.
OK.
That's better. You've got some colour back now.
Have I?
Nice rosy flush.
Oh.
Pretty. Oh, sorry, I'm overstepping the mark.
No, it's OK. I
always said you and Keith made a handsome couple. Mr. and Mrs. Perfect.
Well, it's not been too perfect recently.
Oh, you're bound to miss him.
I am.
But?
Nothing.
Am I being nosy?
It's fine. It hasn't been very perfect for quite a while.
Well, you know, with everything that's been going on. Planning a wedding's no walk in the park.
Oh, you've no idea.
But you gave Sam a day to treasure for the rest of her life.
And look where it got us. Keith... He was hardly ever home. Now I know why, but then...
Have you thought he had another woman?
Well, he never had any time for me. Sorry. Oh, it's that brandy. It's gone to my head. Oh,
don't you worry about it. Think of me as your own personal shoulder to cry on.
Yeah. I just feel like a good cry.
So, what else is bothering you?
Okay. You know you said you might help me out?
Yeah.
With money for the mortgage.
Yeah, go on.
So, is that offer still open?
Of course it is. I'd be happy to help. Whoever I can. Be my pleasure, darling.
No pushing! Hayden, tie your laces or you'll trip over them. Anyway, I heard that after she split up with a partner, she stayed with her sister, but they wouldn't put up with her either. And one of the mothers said that she practically stalked this poor bloke from the cricket team.
Excuse me, Ms. Martin.
Tracy, I...
Didn't see me there? Is that what you were going to say?
No, I...
Can we have a word?
What about?
And that's just me and her. Your service is a surplus to requirements.
Sorry, I'll catch up with you later.
Is that me you were talking about?
No, I mean...
Yeah?
You shouldn't be listening in to other people's conversations.
And you shouldn't be shooing your gob off where anybody could hear.
Gob? We're not on Jeremy Kyle, Tracy.
Apologise.
I beg your pardon?
You heard. Apologise.
Oh, don't be so silly.
Silly?
You seriously need to rein in your temper, Tracy. It could get you into trouble.
I'll move it, or I'll stick another 50 quid interest on just for keeping me waiting. Remember, I know where you live.
So... Oh!
Hey, mind the bodywork.
Hey, lad, do one. Now.
Okay.
Do you know who I am? Now I'll ask you again. Do you know who I am?
What do you want off me?
I'm waiting.
No.
The name's Orobin. Ring any bells?
No. Oh, God. Clive Orobin's.
Right.
I didn't know she was your missus.
I'm Clive Orobin and she's Donna, my sister-in-law.
Okay, mate, look, I know you are. I get it.
I'm not sure you do.
Oh!
Convince me.
I'll leave her alone. Write her loan off. Honest.
Convince me? More?
Yeah.
Hey, leave your hands where I can see them. I'll do the honours.
She's in the book. Take it. I don't know any details off.
Ooh. How much is the rear?
Give that back.
What did you say?
Nothing. Oh, I didn't say anything.
No?
Okay, fine. Have it.
That's more like it.
It's just over a couple of grand.
Sweet. Oh, and what have we got here?
Oh, come on, mate.
Mum?
Please.
Oh. No, I ain't convinced.
My mum, you're not going to...
There won't be any need to worry her, will there?
No.
Nice doing business with you. Oh!
What?
Merry Christmas!
Martha! Stanley, stop it! Martha! Let go of his hair!
Ow!
Now, I said. Hey, don't you dare kick her, Stanley. Stop it, both of you.
Ow!
Stanley!
What on earth is going on here?
It's all right. I can manage.
No, you two go and wait for me by the door, one at each side. Now.
You didn't need to do that.
Oh, I think I did.
I was sorting it.
Oh, yes, I saw how you were sorting it.
And what's that supposed to mean?
I saw how you separated those two.
How?
Oh, don't act the innocent.
What are you talking about?
I saw how you yanked Martha's arm.
I did what?
Oh, poor child. You really pulled it hard. No wonder she yelled.
Right. Okay. I took her arm, but only to get her away from Stanley.
So you admit it?
What are you talking about?
That you used excessive force on Martha.
No, of course I didn't.
I heard her scream with pain.
Stanley kicked her.
I don't know anything about that.
Let's ask the kids then.
Mrs. Newell can ask them.
You've never taken this to their head.
Well, I have no option.
Can't you get it into your thick skull? I never flaming well yanked her arm.
And don't use that language in front of the children either.
Sorry.
Four?
Don't you try and treat me like one of your naughty kids, you patronising cow.
Oh, now you're literally adding insult to injury. Well done, Tracy.
For the last time, I did not hurt Martha. I wouldn't.
We'll see what the head says.
You're not serious.
I wouldn't joke about child protection issue.
Chop! You're blowing it out of all proportion.
I don't think so.
It's only your word against mine anyway.
Take my advice and think long and hard about what you did.
Oh, hello. It's Keith. Horribin. Donna's husband? Oh, but she usually works on a Thursday. I'm sure she does. Oh, right. Yeah. Lunch. Right, well, look, I'll try it home then. Thanks. Will you tell her I cut? And you have a nice day too, snotty cow.
Oh, come on, mate.
Oi, leave off! Just hang on a minute, mate. I've got another call to make.
Naughty dog. Look what you've done to this cushion. Come here. Here. Naughty girl. You know very well you're not allowed to jump on the furniture. I know. You're missing him as well, aren't you? Hey, baby. Oh, no, I haven't even got any food for you, poor little pooch. It won't take a minute, baby. Back in a sec.
Donna, if you're there, can you pick up? Donna! Oh, forget it! Here, it's all yours, mate.
You scheming lying toe rag, Sarah Martin.
We shouldn't be talking to each other.
She sent me home.
I know. She's asked me not to talk to you.
And now the local authority are involved.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but you must understand we have to put the children first.
But I really didn't hurt Martha.
Then that's what the officer will reveal. Have some faith in the system.
Yeah, because the system is always so fair, isn't it?
Think of it as breaking up early.
You know full well I never used inappropriate force on Martha.
Look, we've already been through this. I should go.
I know what this is. It's a fit-up. Because I embarrassed you, didn't I?
Now what are you talking about?
When I caught you out, talking about me behind my back. You spiteful...
You see, that's exactly your problem there. Everyone knows what a short fuse you have, and all that drinking just exacerbates it, I'm sure.
I don't drink!
This job, perhaps it just isn't your thing, Tracy. Why not try the supermarket? Or there are some lovely little pubs around here.
But I'd never hurt a kiddie. You've just exaggerated everything to get me sacked.
Right. I don't think there's any more to be said on this subject. I don't think we'll be seeing you at the Carol concert now, will we?
Oh, it's very nice here, isn't it?
It's just somewhere to get my head down, you know.
Clive?
Yeah?
I thought you said you had a girlfriend.
Yeah, what of it?
Well, there's not much sign of a woman's touch.
You know me, Donna. Not into all that frilly curtain and fluffy cushion stuff.
No, Poochie, stop it, girl. What's the matter, eh?
I'm a bloke. I like things nice and simple.
Well, it's true that lots of ornaments and plants make hard work of dusting.
Well, to be honest, can you see me in a flowery pinny with a feather duster in me hand?
So she's not a homemaker then, Jackie, your girlfriend?
Oh, I admit she's tried, but I think she's given me up as a bad job. Coffee?
Go on, then. You've twisted my arm. As long as I'm not intruding.
Ah, of course not.
She won't be home for lunch, then?
Ah, no, she's away at the minute, anyway.
Oh.
Gone to stay with some relations of hers for Christmas. Oh, how do you like your coffee?
Milk, no sugar, thanks.
God, don't tell me you're on a diet.
Trying.
Get away. Your figure.
Just so as I can indulge a bit over Christmas. I do it every year.
Come on, you women.
And at Easter. And over the summer.
What you like, eh? Hey, Donna, are you okay?
Yeah.
Thinking about O'Keefe?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard for you.
Comes in waves, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be planning something or picturing something in my mind and then all of a sudden it hits me.
It's Christmas. It's going to be a bit different, eh?
Yeah, just a bit.
You'll be all right with Tracy and them lot.
Yeah.
She's invited you?
Yeah, but I don't know. I might just have a quiet one at home.
Nah, you don't want to do that.
No?
Oh, you'd be miserable all on your own.
I won't be totally on my own.
Oh?
It'll be me and Poochie, hey girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she'll keep you company all right.
She's my little baby, aren't you, eh? Are you going to make friends with Uncle Clive, eh, Poochie?
Yeah, here, doggy, doggy.
Shh, Poochie.
Come here, girl. Nice doggy. Hey!
Poochie, really sorry. She's usually really sweet-tempered.
That's what they all say, dog owners.
Oh, I mean it, and she's really good with kids, too.
Not sure I'd let her near kids. I mean, you don't want somebody taking you to court, do you? And having to have her put down.
Oh.
I'd seriously think about it if I were you.
Well,
I'm just trying to look out for you, that's all.
Thanks.
No offence, eh?
No.
Good.
Of course not.
And, talking of looking out for you.
What?
I've sorted out that problem you had with a loan shark.
Really?
Yeah, he won't be round again. I can guarantee it.
Properly? I mean, how?
Trust me. I'm 110% certain.
Oh, that's fantastic news. Thank you so much.
It's all right.
You've no idea what a relief that is.
I can imagine. Oh. And, Leah.
What's this for?
Just to tide you over.
Really?
We can't have the electricity cutting you off over Christmas now, can we?
Oh, Clive, that's so kind of you.
It's okay.
Thank you. Oh.
It's all right. Hey. That was nice.
Oh, gosh, it's... It's not 10 past already, is it?
No idea.
Oh, whoops! My bag!
Here, let me help. Oh!
Sorry!
No worries, darling. There.
Well, thanks again. Oh, heck, I'm going to be late for work and I've got to take her home yet. Poochie, come on, girl, let's get going. Bye, Clive. Thanks again.
You're more than welcome. Anytime, eh?
Well, I wonder if Donna knows what she's doing there. We'll find out more next week. Ambridge Extra was written by Carol Simpson-Salazzo, directed by Peter Leslie Wilde, and produced by Sarah Bradshaw. The editor is Vanessa Whitburn. And if you missed anything, don't forget you can hear that omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra again at 7:15 this evening.
Christmas on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
My very dear Irene, a happy new year, just in case I forget on the day. It's a trifle premature, for which I apologise. And I don't know about you. Well, actually, I do. And I'm sure being that much older, you're even worse. But these days, I'm having more and more craft moments and having to write memos to myself on everything, including washing my face and going to the lavatory. Speaking of memos, I'm certain you said you would be incommunicado with me today, but I can find nothing in my inbox or even my post, which largely consists of final demands and threats of bailiff action. Really, I've only been away a week, but during my absence, a deal has fallen through, chaos has broken out in the bothy, and most importantly, the dishwasher has broken itself without washing up so much as a cup. But I digress. Again, have I misremembered our last conversation? Or more likely, have you? I have much to tell you, but won't begin until I hear from you, as I don't want our missives to cross. Toodaloo for now, V. P.S. In case you haven't heard the patronymic CRAFT, it stands for Can't Remember a Flipping Thing. My daughter Karen says it all the time. Well, actually, she doesn't say flipping, but you get the drift. Kiss, kiss.
Ladies of Letters Go Crackers starts Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
So, from their crackers to Linda Smith's crackers, first broadcast in 2001. The late Linda Smith took a look at how the wrapper, the bang, the joke, the hat and the gift in Christmas crackers all came to be.
What do you get if you cross a woodpecker with a carrier pigeon? A bird who knocks before delivering his message.
And here's a fantastic box in this book. These crackers are called She Won't Be Happy Till She Gets One. These showy crackers contain amusing toys. One can only imagine.
What goes croak croak when it's misty? A foghorn.
Hello, my name's Linda Smith, and at the moment I'm standing in front of a big, very elaborate, gothic-looking memorial fountain, which is on a corner of Finsbury Square in EC2 London. And this fountain is erected to one Martha Smith by her sons Thomas and Walter. And Martha was the wife of Tom Smith, the inventor and purveyor of Christmas crackers. Now, I've got to tell you, this is a pretty elaborate affair. It's got four drinking fountains and a great big ornamental fountain in the middle. It's got carved dolphins all over it. It's a substantial bit of kit. It's in terrible state at the moment, I must say. Bizarrely, there are used tea bags scattered all around it. I don't know if people have been brewing up in the fountain, but the fountains are clogged up. There's fag packets everywhere. It's all a bit tatty and sad. But clearly, this was the wife of a pretty wealthy man. And in fact, the factory itself that created all this wealth was on this very site. And the entire story of the Christmas cracker can be told within walking distance of this very memorial. Right, well, I'm not presenting the whole show out here. It's really nippy, so let's move on.
The story of the Christmas cracker is actually fascinating because it's linked to one man and his idea. What we understand is that he was a confectioner, and he specialized in doing the wonderful pieces that go on the top of wedding cakes. And according to one or two accounts I read, he was quite a traveler. And on a trip to Paris, he was quite taken by bonbons that are the wonderful, in those days, sugared almonds wrapped in a piece of lovely paper with twisted ends. And he saw these bonbons, and you can imagine the way French confectioners' windows and patisseries look today. He was absolutely bowled over by the delicacy and the beauty of them, and came back to England and thought he would try to make a go of those.
Christine Lalumia, Deputy Director of the Jeffrey Museum in London. The Christmas cracker is a very peculiar collection of items, so it's no surprise that Tom Smith didn't say to himself, "This wrapped sweet's lovely, but it would be even better if I swapped the sweet for a gift, added a joke, a hat and a small explosive charge. Here, I've invented the cracker, I'm set up for life." No, the cracker as we know it evolved over more than 50 years. In 1847, when Tom Smith introduced his bonbons, such sweets weren't wrapped in Britain. In fact, very little foodstuff was wrapped. Professor Michael Hitchcock of the University of North London.
The packaging of goods is actually very interesting because up until goods were packaged, they often came in rather large kegs or drums and could easily be adulterated. For example, the most famous packager was one of the Quakers, John Horniman, who invented the tea packet. Now, that sounds really kind of such an obvious thing, but you have to remember that tea was adulterated and was impure, and he was known as Honest John because he put the tea into packages.
Fancy that. We only got safe tea in 1840. So at the beginning, the very fact that the cracker was a wrapped sweet was what made it special. Nothing else was wrapped, even at Christmas. Christine Lalumia.
Our research at the Jeffrey indicates that gifts were not wrapped up until late in the 19th century. And even then, it took quite a while to take hold. I think possibly until the 20s. Victorian gifts, certainly in Tom Smith's day, were often left unwrapped. So in that sense, the idea of turning the bonbon into the cracker and creating a surprise with the gift inside would have certainly been a novelty, and one can surmise that that may have been part of its appeal.
How odd that the Victorians, who wrapped themselves from head to toe in thick material and made covers for every ornament in their house, didn't think of wrapping presents. Must have been fun of a Christmas morning. Oh, what's this? Let me guess. You don't need to guess, do you? You can see what it is. It's not wrapped. It's a penny farthing bicycle. Oh, I've got you a bottle of laudanum, as you can see. Harold Daigle is managing director of Napier's, one of Britain's biggest cracker makers, and as it happens, the present owner of the Tom Smith name. He's been in the business since the late 40s, so he knows a few things, such as the most popular wrapping paper colours.
Some people prefer